We're reading Psalm 19, which is found on page 552 of the Bible that you picked up on the way in. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Charlotte, thank you very much. Do keep it open as ever as we look at these words. We were down at my, Kate's parents and then my parents after Christmas morning service, whizzed down there. And one of the houses, I can't remember, had these really lovely crackers, as I'm sure lots of us open on Christmas Day. And these ones had not just the obligatory toy, the nail scissors or the various other things that we've got lots of around the house, but on the little slip of paper with the crown was both a trivia, a joke, and a fact. Sort of like this bumper crop of useful things, therefore get the conversation started around the table. A terrible joke, basically, a point of trivia that you'll forget in seconds, and then sort of an interesting fact. And I segue that in because the very first fact, not the joke, not the trivia, the very first fact we're told about God in the Bible is that God speaks. It's there on page 1, Genesis 1, verse 1. We're told, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's sort of the summary. And verse 3 of Genesis 1, and God said. He's the very definition of Mr. Communicative. It's the first thing he does, the first thing he wants us to know about him, so that when we get to Psalm 19, we see that God speaks of his glory in the skies. He definitely speaks, and we hear how he even can do it silently. He speaks of glory in the skies. He speaks of his grace in his scriptures and of his servant who alone can save sinners. And so as we land at this new year, as resolutions are made, I presume in a few hours' time, and broken, if anything like me, just a few minutes later, let's resolve to simply sit and listen to God. We'll do that as we sit under Psalm 19. Let's resolve to do that more and more because his words are so gloriously good. Let's pray as we do that and then turn to this psalm. Father, we thank you so much that you are not silent. You are not distant. You're above us in holy majesty, but you speak like the basis of any of our relationships where we get to know one another better through sharing, talking, communicating. We thank you so much that you are the God who speaks. We thank you for your word. We thank you both for the word incarnate, as we've heard in John chapter 1, Jesus born. We thank you for your word, the word in our laps, in our Bibles, and how good your words are for us. So we pray now as this new year, one year draws to a close and the other year opens. Lord, we pray very much you give us ears to hear your voice. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at this psalm quite briefly in these three areas. Firstly, seeing how the skies speak of God's glory. Perhaps you'd say sing of God's glory in the first six verses. I guess the sense is that we're to picture David staring up at the night sky, and there's no light pollution to be seen. And whilst if you're sort of there with me trying to do that, I might sort of squint up and say, oh, look, there's the plough, but it looks more like a frying pan. Or there's Orion's belt, and that's the only thing of Orion I can possibly point out. There's a shooting star. Oh, no, it's a satellite. Sort of a bit of an ignorant knowledge. David, he gathers us and says, the heavens declare the glory of God, verse 1. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. That's what they're saying. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. It's an astonishing assessment, isn't it, of the beauty of what he sees and describes as he looks up, whether it's the day or the night. And his point is, it's as though God has surrounded the world with a giant IMAX screen, playing this non-stop film on endless loop, such that anytime, anywhere, we see God's glory in the skies. 24/7, 365, day and night. It's like a silent film, we're told, that transcends all languages and cultures. No subtitles needed, no misleading horoscopes to try and interpret. This is God's multilingual word to a multicultural world, unspoken but seen and heard, available to everyone, everywhere, since time began. Astonishing. And David sort of is moved to put it poetically, describing it in verse 4. Just look with me at verse 4. He says, in the heavens, the skies, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It's like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. It's as if, as he looks up and he points and it's the noonday sun. He says, take the sun. It's there. You can't miss it. Nobody can miss it. It runs like a bridegroom to meet his bride. Or like a beaming champion Mo Farah on his final lap, knowing he's won. There is nothing and no one who doesn't see its light or feel its warmth, he says. It shines so brightly that we can't look at it directly. And I'm told that there's such power in the sun that in the time it's taken me to read this sentence, it's generated enough energy to fuel the whole of America for 36 million years. That's a lot, isn't it? Now, David didn't know that, and still he says, wow. That pause alone has just added another 9 million years to America's fuel situation. We're to simply look and dare to imagine the power that made it by speaking. Friends, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, perhaps looking back on a year of highs and lows, perhaps you're returning from a Christmas of both tears of laughter and sorrows. Or perhaps you're sort of gathering, knowing that tomorrow is New Year's Day, and if you're honest, you're a little apprehensive, maybe eager as well, but wondering what's in store. Well, let's resolve to remember God has surrounded us with his hymn book. The sights of the skies, day or night, so that wherever we are, day or night, we can always look up and see reason to praise him in awe of who he is. All that we see gives us reason to praise. And if you're not yet a believer here this morning, you are most welcome indeed. And the psalmist here, his name was David, and he's very convinced the skies have been telling you since you were born that God is worthy of your worship and praise. Perhaps 2024 could be the year you listen, turn down everything else, and hear what he's saying. The skies, the skies speak of God's glory. Second, the scriptures speak of God's grace. So far in those first six verses, David uses the Hebrew word El when he's mentioning God, and he does that to look up and see God's power. El. But now he switches to the Hebrew word Yahweh for Lord. For when he looks down at Scripture and sees him personally. And so whilst the skies reveal God is worthy of our worship, it's the Scriptures that reveal God's love so that we long to worship. Just look with me at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. Have you ever thought of law being perfect and refreshing? That good for you? The law here, a word encompassing both God's word generally as being perfect without blemish or error, nothing missing, totally true, and so it alone can refresh you to your inner core. And the breadth of the Hebrew word here for refreshes means that God's word revives us and restores us and returns us to our Creator. It's an all-encompassing word. Think of it as much more than just that glass of water on a hot day. No, the word here, refresh, is to be revived, restored, and returned, and then once home with our Creator, to be constantly refreshed. So he says, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. In other words, it's God's word that teaches the simple, not the stupid, but the uninstructed. It's God's word that makes us wise about how to live in the Lord's world, the Lord's way, because they're correct. They're good. They are the wonderful manual that we need from the Maker. So while we lament, as we've been thinking a few times this past year, at the departure from Scripture we've seen at the senior levels in the Church of England. God's word is so good. It's good for us. The psalmist continues, verse 8, it brings joy. Verse 9, it gives light. And the sense here is that it does that such that we'd see and then get to know God better. We see ourselves better. We'd run to our Savior more. And then as we do that, it's not that we want to domesticate him because we've sort of got the measure of him. No, verse 9, when we see God more, the sense is we fear him more. But again, fear here, a word conjoined with love, speaking not of a slavish dread, but a right reverence, a right awe. And that's why David sums up and sings of God's words as both being priceless and pleasurable. Verse 10, they are more precious than gold. They are sweeter than honey. More precious than gold, sweeter than honey. I don't know if you've sung the three words, five gold rings, a few times this Christmas. I think I've somehow been spared it. It's all right, isn't it? Bit of fun. But here, God's word is more precious than the gold in any gift you might have received, five gold rings or otherwise. It is sweeter than any honey, or in our house, Nutella, you might have eaten over Christmas. But as I read that, I ask myself, as I ask you, do you feel that way about God's word, the Bible? Would you describe it as that real sense of both treasure and pleasure? Precious gold, sweet honey. I think going into 2024, I want to resolve to spend more and more time just listening to the Lord. That its goldiness and honeyness would become ever real. Lots of us have been so grateful. Perhaps you've been grateful too. This book that we've been reading throughout Advent. It's just been so refreshing to see truth from a few chapters of Isaiah put so plainly, so warmly, so easily. And you can read it and not think, gosh, this is gold. This is honey. I'm almost grateful to have fallen a bit behind, that I can sort of spill into 2024 carrying on with it. And if that's you, join me. It's gold. It's honey. I was really pleased to see something. I'm not sure how I stumbled across it over Christmas, but the author, Matt Searles, has partnered up with somebody else and released some daily Bible devotions available online. I'll put them on the weekly news. I'm really looking forward to starting them. And so, look on the weekly news to see more that this gifted writer has given us to point us to the gold and honey of Scripture. How might you, how might I resolve this new year to simply sit and listen to God's word a bit more? Whether it's going to be alone, maybe it's with some responsibility in the family, maybe it's to commit to a life group, maybe it's to offer to read it with somebody else, to regularly see the message and be refreshed by the treasure and pleasure of God's word. I need to be reminded it is such a good voice. So many say it isn't, and by breakfast I've often forgotten. But the skies speak of God's glory. The scriptures, they sing of God's grace. And finally, God speaks of his servant who saves. The sense here is that David has listened to this extraordinarily powerful God of the skies, and he's surrendered to the goodness of the God of the Scriptures. And we might wonder, how has that left him feeling? Well, the sense here is wanting to hide. He says, verse 11, "By them, your words, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I'll be blameless, innocent of great transgression." You see, the message from the skies and the scriptures leaves David not feeling just small, but also very exposed. It seems that God's word not only warms like the sun, but somehow warns, it reveals like the light of the sun, our faults, our sins. And yet, as we see here, it rewards those who surrender to the gracious rule of God. He's left exposed, wanting to hide, and yet knows there's grace. I remember seeing the Estee Lauder advert for their, I don't know if it's their latest, Even Skin Tone Illuminator. I won't tell you why it caught my eye. I didn't think I must get me some of that. But it's the caption that caught my eye, let me tell you. Because the caption simply said, "Imagine having nothing to hide." And for whatever, 80 quid or something, they promised to do that for a few moments. But imagine having nothing to hide. That's what the psalmist does here when he cries out, verse 12, "Forgive my faults." He knows he's got things that he can't hide. and so cries to the mercy of the God who sees them. He knows our sins are no secret to God, and so cries to the Saviour of God. It's little wonder the same psalmist in Psalm 51 a bit later on says, verse 2, "Wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." And it's the very next time that a hyssop branch is mentioned in the Bible that should get our attention. Because in John chapter 19, when it's lifted to Jesus' lips as he dies on the cross with his final words, "It is finished." In other words, if I may, "You are clean." Before God, cleansed by him, that is how we're seen. And that is what happens when we trust in the one who is the servant sent to save sinners, the Messiah, who, as we've seen in that short video, can forgive the mess of sin. So friends, as I close, if you know Jesus and have known him walking through your world in 2023 and just want to know him a bit more in 2024, Psalm 19 says, well, you have a few options. Firstly, simply resolve to look up at the skies and be in awe of his glory. But it says, don't gaze there all day or all night, but then look down at the scriptures and see his grace revealed in the servant who saves. It'd be very easy to give a crippling list of just more do's and don'ts or more resolutions to kind of put a little boulders in our knapsack of things we must do better in the year ahead, even as Christians. But as we surrender to his good voice, precious gold and sweet honey, then we'll see more of who he is and long to hear more of his voice, like any good relationship where the silence is deafening and you just long to hear them again. May resolve in 2024 to simply listen to the Lord more and more. He promises it'll do us the world of good. And maybe we can pray as well. Resolve to pray more and more for those we know and love who don't yet know and love the Lord Jesus. They don't know this refreshment, this light, this life. They don't know this treasure, this pleasure. But we do. And he knows that we know them. May we resolve to share the gospel with them, going back to our classrooms, our staff rooms, whatever it might be. May we invite to Hope Explore. There's various flyers around. We've got one here, starting in a couple of Sundays' time, just that people would come and see what David saw and that we see. To know the joy of being set free, not from sitting under the rule of sin, but under the words of their Saviour. For the skies speak of God's glory, the scriptures sing of God's grace, and they point us to the servant who alone saves sinners. Let me pray, and we're going to close with two songs before we go and grab the children. So let me pray. Loving Father, we thank and praise you, as we've said and as we've seen, that you don't remain silent, but even the skies speak of you. And we thank you above all that your scriptures point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. They reveal our sins, and in warning us of those sins and the judgment, they stir us to long for our Saviour. And then in coming to him, in coming home, help us know what it is to obey him, the goodness of his loving, gracious rule, of living in his world, his way. And we're sorry when we ignore you or silence you or think of excuses to sidestep you. Lord, we pray that as we, as a church family, go into the new year, you would help us to surrender to the goodness of your voice, to have that resolution, to listen to you that bit more clearly, to trust you that bit more dearly. Pray that you'd help us to do that, and then to share, to speak of you with those nearest and dearest to us, those who do not know what it is to know the glorious treasure of gold, the rich sweetness of the honey that is your word that points them to Christ. Pray you would help us to boldly speak of him and share him in the year ahead. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.